Welcome to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop, where you'll find the unique, the bizarre, and sometimes the haunted. Feel free to look around, peruse the items, and never fear, there's nothing here that bites. Hard anyway. Hello there, welcome back to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. I am your shopkeeper, Chris Baker, and today, glad you stopped by the shop. We have an item or items that I thought would be of particular interest to you. If you'll take a look over here, it is a set of seven daggers. Now, these daggers have been dated, but no one is quite sure the age of these artifacts. Some say they date back to biblical times, while others maintain that these daggers were forged at the dawn of creation. And while these daggers have a story they could tell, it is the story that predates them that is of particular interest to us today on this episode of Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. So let's pull out the kinetoscope and take a look at the new film, The First Omen. So when I saw the trailer for The First Omen, I thought, I'm excited about this. I'm usually not very big on prequels because sometimes prequels, I mean, there are cases where prequels are sometimes even better than the originals. When you have a lot of newer movies that don't live up to the hype, and you do a prequel and it kind of breathes new life into the franchise. But where I find some prequels go wrong is when you try to do a prequel to an already existing classic. And the 1976 movie The Omen, starring Gregory Peck, Lee Remick, David Warner, a young Harvey Spencer Stevens as Damien, was just that, a classic of horror. But seeing the trailer of this movie, I thought, okay, this could be interesting. I dare say it probably wasn't going to exceed the original, but I thought it could be on par and work as a nice prequel to the first movie, because the successive sequels just got worse and worse as The Omen went along. And then, of course, they did that remake in, was it 2016, I believe, which I wasn't a fan of the idea of that. I'm really not a fan of remakes of classics because, generally speaking, they rarely ever work or are at least on par with the original. Every once in a while, you get one that is better than the original. The Thing, I think, is one of those where the remake is better than the original. Maybe one day I'll watch the remake of The Omen. But for my money, the 1976 The Omen is the classic story. That's the story I want to see. And to see the origins of Damien and what happened leading up to the birth of Damien, I thought it was grounds for some really interesting storytelling. And like I said, the trailer looked like it could be really creepy, could be really good. And I have to say, after watching it, I can't say I loved it. I liked it well enough. It had a lot of good things going for it, but it also had some things that I really didn't care for going for it. And I was quite surprised to see how many people, how many commentators and how many critics just loved this movie that I thought, oh, wow, if I'm going to be harsh on this, that everyone else is going to be ripping this apart, because sometimes I'm a little more forgiving than a lot of other commentators and critics. But everybody just seems to love this movie, and I didn't love it. I liked it well enough. I thought it had some good things. It did some good things. But we'll get into that. The things I liked about this movie, the things I didn't like about this movie. So without further ado, we are going to head into some spoiler territory. So if you haven't watched The First Omen, go check it out in movie theaters right now, and then come back and listen to my thoughts. If you have watched it or you don't care one way or the other, we're going to head into some spoiler territory. So in talking about The First Omen, I guess I'll talk about the things I liked about this movie, and then I'll talk about the things I didn't care for with this movie. And one of the things I really liked about this movie was the cast. I thought Nell Tiger Free as Margaret is just fantastic in this lead role. She's playing a young woman who is going to become a nun. She is about to take the veil, as they say. And the myriad of emotion she goes through, the myriad of circumstances, from that innocent naivety of a young girl who is going to become a nun, to the wildness of that last night before she is going to take the veil, to the fear in some of the things that are happening to her, to the nurturing nature she has once she meets the Carlita character, and kind of taking her under her wing and kind of seeing her as a younger version of herself, who had a bit of a wild side and had a bit of a, maybe a bit of a rebellious streak, to the full-on horror of that scene where it's almost like she's being possessed and her body's being taken over and contorting and popping and freaking and herking and jerking. It was, you know, you've seen things like that in movies, but the extremes and the lengths and the amount of time they spent on that whole scene where she starts to give birth to Damien was just really a fantastic performance on her part from a physical acting standpoint. And she made you care about her. She made you fear for what she's getting into and the depths with which her character is getting entangled in what is going on at this orphanage. Ralph Ineson plays Father Brennan, who is a character from the 1976 Omen film. That's the character played by Patrick Troughton. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. But he plays Father Brennan in 1976. And I thought Ralph Ineson, you know, physically not a perfect match for Patrick Troughton, but, you know, stature, the hair, it was pretty close. But the two characters, I mean, it's the same character, but they treated both characters quite different and gave them different motivations. And we'll get in, that'll be something we're going to talk about in the section where I talk about what I don't like. But I like Ralph Ineson. He always does a wonderful job, no matter what he's in, from the British version of The Office to that horrible Willow sequel series to anything else he's done. He's always a standout. Bill Nighy was in this, not a ton, but he's one of those actors that just adds a bit of weight to the cast that he's such a wonderful actor. I wish we could have seen more of him and his character in this movie. Speaking of, Charles Dance plays Father Harris. Only gets that scene at the very beginning. We'll talk about that scene a little more coming up. And one of the other things I like about this, but Charles Dance, again, another one of those actors that just adds that weight to the cast and that veteran feel, you know, gravitas is what a lot of people, I myself, toss around quite a bit, but he brings that. And there again, it was a character that I would have liked to have seen more of just because of the performance and the power of the actor. Unfortunately, we did not get to see more of Charles Dance's Father Harris. And then, of course, Nicole Soris as Carlita Sciana. She is the child that is the red herring in this movie. We're expecting, and they try to set up this mystery that she is going to be the mother of Damien, but it is all red herring, and we'll get to that again in the bits that I didn't care for in this movie. But the cast was fantastic and really did a good job. And Nell Tiger Free, this whole movie revolved around her and her character and her performance, and she carried this movie with ease. And an actress I'm not 100% familiar with. I know she's in that M. Night Shyamalan series, The Servant, which I haven't had a chance to see. She was Marcella Baratheon in Game of Thrones in season 5 and season 6. But she was only in a few episodes and really didn't have, I mean, that was a character that just didn't have a lot to do, at least from the adaptation standpoint. In the books, it may be a little different. But I wasn't really familiar with this actress, and this is one of those movies where I want to see more of Nell Tiger Free, because she did a fantastic job with this. Now, surprisingly enough, there were only really a couple of kills in this. I mean, towards the end, you got Bill Nye's character gets killed, but it's kind of, it was so nonplussed that it didn't really have any impact on the movie, any impact from a storytelling standpoint. But there were two big kills in this that I really liked, even though they were very derivative of two of the deaths from the 1976 The Omen. Of course, you have Charles Dance. His character, Father Harris, is going to talk to Father Brennan and give him a warning about what's going on with the church and how they're trying to bring about the Antichrist. And as he's leaving, there's construction workers working on some of the stained glass on these big scaffolds. And it really felt like a combination of Father Brennan's death in the 1976 Omen and the other character, David Warner's character, when he dies, he's like beheaded with glass. It was kind of a combination of those. You weren't sure exactly. I thought it was going to be the glass death, but it ended up being the pole. It looks like the pole goes back behind him. I'm like, I know that pole. This is evoking that scene where Father Brennan gets the lightning rod through his body. And I knew that pole had to hit him, and he starts to walk away, and you're looking at him, you know, from his front, and then he turns around, and you see how that pole, like, sheared off and split his skull. It was disgusting. It was gnarly and a great shocking way, because they really set up this first scene between Father Brennan and Father Harris, and they really built a mystery, and they really built the tone and the atmosphere through this scene. After this scene, I was like, oh, I was creeped out. I was like unnerved. And I was like, okay, we're in for a really good, creepy, bizarre story. And that really set it up. And I thought that kill was kind of the exclamation point on that scene. Another kill that I really liked, and I thought it, again, was very evocative of the scene in The First Omen, but it added a twist to it. You have this big kind of orphanage picnic, and this kind of weird nun, this weird sister, is hanging around the Carlita character, who Margaret, played by Nell Tiger Free, has kind of taken a liking to, taken her under her wing, and she kind of goes up, and this sister is acting really weird, and all of a sudden, she says something to the effect of, it's all for you. And then she kisses Margaret, gives her a kiss on the lips. And you're not sure. You're thinking the all for you is for Carlita because they're setting her up as the mother of Damien. But she kisses Margaret. And I think that's the first point where I'm like, okay, I know what the big twist is going to be at the end of this. And we'll get to that a little bit later, like I said, in the parts I didn't like section. But this sister, after she kisses Margaret, sets herself on fire, St. Maud style, and then hangs herself. And she swings down and breaks the glass, kind of like the nanny who hung herself in the original Omen. Again, very derivative of what happened, but I think that the first two kills of this movie, I think they did that purposefully to give you a sense, kind of give you that mirror image of what happened in this and what happens in the 1976 Omen, which is supposed to be taking place, you know, years after the events of this. And as much as they were, like I said, derivative of those Omen kills, I still really liked them. I thought they really worked in setting a creepy tone and atmosphere. It really set a level of horror that mimics the level of horror you get from that first Omen movie. There's a couple scares after that that are pretty good from jump scare and creepy standpoints, but they just don't match tonally with these first two kills. And while I like them, in particular, there is a scene where Margaret is in her room, her nun clothing is hanging on the wall, and this curtain kind of is, breeze is blowing it in. And as the curtain moves past and moves away, revealing an old crone in this nun outfit of hers. And then, of course, I believe there was like some sort of jump scare there. At first, it was creepy, and then the jump scare kind of wrecked it as far as my taste. And then there's that scene where Margaret is freaking out and they put her in the bad room. And all of a sudden you see in the dark corner of this room something there and you're not sure what to make of it. And then all of a sudden it stands up and it starts walking towards the camera. And as it walks toward the camera and more into the light, you realize it's the burned and charred body of the nun who set herself on fire and then hung herself in front of Margaret. And it was really creepy. And then they did like a bit of a jump scare. Again, the jump scares, there were quite a few jump scares in this. None of them really worked to the level I wanted them to. It was all just a big loud sound effect and a jump cut or something rushing right to the camera. To me, that's not scary. It startles you, but it's not scary. The two kills at the beginning of this movie, the nun setting herself on fire and hanging herself, Charles Dance getting his head cleaved, those were scary. Some of these other jump scares just made me jump. Although there was one other kill I kind of forgot about, and it was a jump scare that actually worked because it played off of that, is when Margaret meets that guy she kind of was going to hook up with before she took the veil, Paulo, and he is freaked out by her. He starts to say, look for the mark. Again, you're thinking it's in regards to Carlita, but it's more regards to Margaret herself. And then he gets hit by the car. And it was one of those classic car comes out of nowhere and the guy gets hit. I didn't think that was reinventing the wheel in that sort of jump scare. It was effective. But what I liked is that he got pinned against a wall. Like that scene with Mel Gibson's wife in Signs where she's cut in two, and it's the car holding her against the tree that's holding her together, and Paulo's like that, and then, of course, Margaret goes to kind of pull him off, and his severed body is just hanging there in her arms. That was disturbing in the absolute best way. It looked really good, the effects that they did on that, practical, and I don't know, there might have been some CG mixed in there as well. But also from a design standpoint, this movie had just a really good look and a really good feel. I loved the imagery that they did. Some of the imagery where Margaret's praying and you had these two kind of like almost arch-shaped candle holders with candles, and it almost looks like she's in a circle of hell, and just some of the stunning imagery. There was a lot of beautiful imagery, especially when it got to the end of the movie. There's some disturbing imagery. That birth scene at the, not the one at the end, the one towards the beginning of the movie that Margaret sees somebody giving birth, a woman giving birth, and they get real close to showing all the bits and pieces, but they don't. It's tasteful, except for that last shot where you see the woman, the pregnant woman, her legs spread and this clawed hand reaching out from inside of her. It was disturbing and messed up, and it was a bit of horrific imagery that I think worked on another level. You know, like I said, those first two kills really mirrored the tone of horror that you got in the 1976 Omen. But this added a body horror level that I wish they would have delved a little more into that and less in the jump scares, because I thought scares like this worked a lot better than the jump scares. But the sound design was really cool. All of the whispers and things. There were so many times I thought it was somebody in the rows behind me talking. And no, it was just these whispers. And you almost hear words. And sometimes you catch a little something. And you're trying to figure out what is being said. And it just, it made for a very unnerving feeling watching this movie. Like there are spirits all around and they've all got something to say, and they're all talking about you. And it just, it made for a creepy atmosphere. I really love the score because Mark Corvin did the music for this and did a really good job with combining new elements, new score for this, but also evoking some of the score and the original music from Jerry Goldsmith from the 1976 Omen movie, including the Ave Satani, which just is kind of iconic from the Omen. Now, those are some of the things I really liked about this movie. When you talk about things I didn't like about this movie, the list is almost as long, and Well, I really wanted to like this movie. It had a lot that I enjoyed. There were just some things that I just was not a big fan of. One of them was that there was no mystery. And that was one of the great things about the 1976 The Omen, is that it really set a mystery, unraveling who Damien was, where he came from, and whether he was actually the Antichrist, the son of Satan. And they set up that mystery quite well. With this, there was no real mystery. They set it up to where the Carlita character was this red herring that you're thinking, oh, she's going to be the mother of Damien, but she's also quite young. And early on, I'm like, well, Nell could still be in her late teens, because they said the girl, Charles Dance said the girl would be in her teens, a teenager, and Nell Tigerfree as Margaret. At first, I was like, oh, well, she's still in this movie, the character, still late teen. She could be the mother of Damien. It would make sense. She is the lead in this. But I think it was that scene where the sister kisses her and says, it's all for you. You think she's talking about Carlita, but she's actually talking about Margaret, and then goes and lights herself on fire and hangs herself. That's where I'm like, oh, okay, Margaret is going to be the actual reveal of the mother of Damien. Which led to one of my biggest problems in this movie, is the fact that they changed so much of the lore of the 1976 Omen that this is supposed to be the prequel for. In the 1976 The Omen, Damien is the son of a jackal. Damien's mother is a jackal. It's not metaphor. And in this, they made him have a human mother, and his father is this jackal-like demon. Neither one makes much sense from a logistics standpoint in regards to sexual congress. But you already have things established a certain way, and you change them outright. Now, in the 76 movie, The Omen, on the grave where they find the skeleton of the jackal, Damien's mother, it says Maria Sciana. In this, they make it this whole like conspiracy theory where the church is running these experiments to try to bring about the birth of the Antichrist, and each girl's named Sciana because the devil will only do it with his daughters, and each potential mother for Damien is Sciana number 17, Sciana number 18. It's like this big conspiracy experimentation that's going on. And while I don't think they go into it really deep in the 1976 Omen movie about who is behind all this in subsequent Omen movies, it is kind of established that it is Satanists that are at the behest of Damien and are, you know, watching out for him. The new nanny that comes along in the 76 Omen, it's kind of alluded to that she is a Satanist. And in the original Omen movies, it is, you know, why would you see, that's where it doesn't make sense. Of course, Satanists who follow Satan want the Antichrist to come about. In this movie, the first Omen, they use the Father Brennan character to come up with this convoluted story about how, because in, you know, 2024, you can't have Satanists be the bad guy. It's got to be the church, because we don't like Christianity. But there's good Christianity, and then you've got this other bad Christianity that wants nothing but power, and you keep power by making people afraid. And if people aren't afraid, they won't come to the church. So we got to give them something to be afraid of. So we're going to bring the Antichrist about. Which, pardon my French, but that sounds like a screenwriter who doesn't fucking understand how the Christians feel about the Antichrist. And I know Hollywood doesn't like the Catholic Church, but even in all its pomposity, I dare say the Catholic Church isn't going to try to purposely bring about the Antichrist to keep him like a dog on a leash, like this story proposes. Granted, I know it is suspension of disbelief, but it just seemed a bit convoluted, where it could just be, you could have kept it simple, and you could have kept it in line with the original movie and the subsequent sequels, no matter how good or bad they were, making it this big conspiracy theory. And Father Brennan being like all into this kind of goes against how he acted when he was trying to warn Robert Thorne in the 1976 Omen. He didn't bring up anything about a church conspiracy. It's just the lore of the original and the lore of this just didn't line up. It didn't jibe. Another thing I didn't care for about this movie was the fact that it was too long. It was just a shade under 2 hours long, and it just felt there towards that third act. It's just like, okay, we're going to keep going. Oh, I thought this was the end, but no, we're going to keep going. Oh, here's another ending. We're going to keep going. And I felt like they could have knocked off like at least 10 minutes of this movie, and it just would have tightened it up a little bit and not quite been as long as it felt once you got into that final act and things just kept dragging out. And the final thing I didn't care for at all about this movie, the fact that they screwed with the lore and all that aside, fine. But they made Damien a twin. There was a twin girl that was born as well. And of course, Margaret and Carlita and this girl, this baby girl, all escape. Because even if you're making Damien's mother not the jackal, she's supposed to be dead. And yeah, I get it. You know, you find the body of the jackal in the grave. You never saw an actual human body, but that's because Damien's mother was a jackal in that original movie. That's not hyperbole. That is not a metaphor. And then they have this scene at the end. Must be at least a year or maybe two later, because the baby's, you know, kind of a toddler now. You've got Margaret and Carlita there taking care of this baby, and Father Brennan shows up talking about how they know she survived and they're going to be coming for her, and she's got a shotgun and she's ready for him. And it just made it feel like they're setting this movie up for a almost like an action sequel. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is taking a turn from a horror movie. Now they're making it like set up to be a supernatural action thriller. And the ending of this just did not match tonally with the rest of this movie. So all in all, I wanted to like The First Omen a lot more than I did. It's not to say I hated it. I enjoyed it. It was good enough. It was long. I don't think it knew what it wanted to be. The 1976 Omen was very much a supernatural horror story. It was a mystery. It was psychological. This didn't know whether it wanted to do a supernatural mystery or if it wanted to be a creature feature, because it had a lot of creature-y moments that were certainly disturbing, but just didn't match the tone of other things that were more cerebral, that were more of a supernatural mystery. And it just, like I said, there was just some inconsistencies in tone. Like I said, the pacing was a little bit off because it felt every bit of that almost 2 hour runtime. But the movie looked and sounded and was acted expertly. I mean, this movie looked like a bigger movie than the $30 million budget would suggest. You saw every bit of that money and more, from the fantastic acting to the wonderful 70s vibe. I mean, it takes place in 1971. This really felt of the time, and it didn't feel like a caricature of the 1970s, which I really loved that. But look, feel, the atmosphere, the tone and tension of this, when done right, the tone was really spot on. The tension and atmosphere was just palpable. You could cut the tension with a knife. It was so thick in some of these scenes. And in that regard, I think that Arkasha Stevenson did a really good job with this. I just think some of the script and some of the story was just a little disjointed when you compare it to what it's supposed to be based on with the 1976 The Omen. So at the end of the day, this is definitely worth a watch. There again, I don't think it's a bad movie. It's a good movie. It was an enjoyable movie. It just, like I said, had some inconsistencies with the lore that I just couldn't look past and make me really love this movie. If you're a fan of the 1976 and you're a fan of that story, this just isn't going to line up quite right. But all in all, still a very stunning and beautiful movie to watch from an artistic standpoint that I would definitely say check it out. If you love The Omen, if you love horror, this is definitely a movie to watch. I didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to. So I want to thank everyone for listening to my thoughts on The First Omen. You can check it out in theaters now. I want to thank everyone for listening. You can check out more about what's going on with Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop on our Facebook and Instagram pages. We're always posting about horror, fantasy, and science fiction, as well as our latest episodes. No matter where you listen to this podcast, like, follow, subscribe to it. That way you can stay on top of all the new episodes. And as always, share this podcast with anyone you know that loves horror, fantasy, and science fiction. And leave those reviews. 5 stars would be awesome. But whatever review you leave, we do appreciate it. So until next time. Thank you for visiting Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. We hope that you found something to your liking and visit the shop again soon. But even though you may come back, you never really get to leave Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop.